Welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast series, Through the Bible in a Year, where we come together for daily reading and reflection as we journey through the scriptures. Let's dive into today's episode with Pastor Chris Miller.
Hello, welcome back to the PC Speaking Podcast and day number 142 of our Through the Bible in a Year reading program. We are back in 1 Samuel today, chapters 23, 24, 25. And in the New Testament, we're going to be reading John chapter 7. Looking forward to getting there. I love 1 Samuel, 1st, 2nd Samuel, Kings. I love reading these books. There's so many familiar stories in these books. And 1 Samuel chapter 23 tells of David saving the city of Keilah from the Philistines and his strategic movements to evade Saul's pursuit. He's still running for his life from Saul. And despite David's heroic act, he learns through divine counsel that the citizens of Keilah would betray him to Saul, which is such a shame. But chapter 24 recounts David sparing Saul's life in the cave at En-Gedi. Another cool story, demonstrating David's respect for Saul as the Lord's anointed, despite Saul's intent to kill him. And chapter 25 narrates the encounter between David and Abigail, the wise and discerning wife of Nabal. After Nabal rudely refuses David's request for provisions, Abigail intervenes to prevent David from avenging himself. Over in the New Testament, John chapter 7, we capture Jesus' teaching at the Feast of Tabernacles, revealing divisions and various responses to his ministry. The chapter opens with Jesus moving in Galilee, avoiding Judea and threats to his life. And Jesus teaches in the temple, astonishes the crowd with his wisdom. And yeah, a lot of what we see in John chapter 7 is just mixed reactions from the public, religious leaders, and even his followers regarding who he is and his authority. Let's go to our reading. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 23 to begin. Starting in verse 1, it says, David was told, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and strike these Philistines?' The Lord said to David, 'Go strike the Philistines and save Keilah.' David's men said to him, 'Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired the Lord yet again. The Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand.' David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and killed them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. When Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, he came down with an ephod in his hand. Saul was told that David had come to Keilah. Saul said, 'God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars.' Saul summoned all the people to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul was devising mischief against him. He said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring the ephod here.' Then David said, 'O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord, the God of Israel, I beg you, tell your servant.' The Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then David said, 'Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?' The Lord said, 'They will deliver you up.' Then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went wherever they could go. Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, and he gave up going there. David stayed in the wilderness, in the strongholds, and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God didn't deliver him up into his hand. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the woods. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the woods and strengthened his hand in God. He said to him, 'Don't be afraid, for the hand of Saul, my father, won't find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul, my father, knows that also.' They both made a covenant before the Lord. Then David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul to Gibeah, saying, 'Doesn't David hide himself with us in the strongholds of the woods, in the hills of Hekelah, which is on the south of the desert? Now, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part will be to deliver him up into the king's hand.' Saul said, 'You are blessed by the Lord. You have had compassion on me. please go make yet more sure and know and see his place where his haunt is and who has seen him there. For I have been told that he is very cunning. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself and come again to meet me with certainty. And I will go with you. It shall happen if he is in the land that I will search him out amongst all the thousands of Judah. They arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the Arabah on the south side of the desert. Saul and his men went to seek him. When David was told, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. Then when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on this side of the mountain and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David hurried to get away from fear of Saul, for Saul and his men surrounded David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. So Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, they called that place Selah Hamalakoth. David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Chapter 24. When Saul had returned from following the Philistines, he was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were staying in the innermost parts of the cave. David's men said to him, behold, the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe secretly. Afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. So David checked his men with these words and didn't allow them to rise up against Saul. Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and showed respect. David said to Saul, why do you listen to men's words, saying, behold, David seeks to harm you? Behold, today your eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered you today into my hand in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, behold, yes, see the skirt of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of your robe and didn't kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor disobedience in my hand. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord avenge me of you, but my hand will not be on you. As the proverb of the ancients says, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand will not be on you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. It came to pass when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, is that your voice, my son David? Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have done good to me, whereas I have done evil to you. You have declared today how you have dealt well with me, because when the Lord had delivered me up into your land, you didn't kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, he will let him go away unharmed. Will he let him go away unharmed? Therefore, may the Lord reward you for that which you have done to me today. Now behold, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. Swear now, therefore, to me by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. David swore to Saul. Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Chapter 25. Samuel died, and all Israel gathered themselves together and mourned for him and buried him at his house at Ramah. Then David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. This woman was intelligent and had a beautiful face. The man was surly and evil in his doings. He was at the house of Caleb. David, hearing in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Tell him, long life to you, peace to you, peace be to your house, peace be to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds have now been with us, and we didn't harm them. Nothing was missing from them all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let the young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a good day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal all the words in the name of David and waited. Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants who break away from their masters these days. Shall I take my bread, my water, my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men who I don't know where they come from?" So David's young men turned on their way and went back and came and told him all these words. David said to his men, "Every man put on his sword." Every man put on his sword. David also put on his sword. About 400 men followed David, and 200 stayed by the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he insulted them. But the men were very good to us and were not harmed, and we didn't miss anything as long as we went with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his house, for he is such a worthless fellow that one can't speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 containers of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 seahs of parched grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on donkeys. She said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal. As she rode on her donkey and came down hidden by the mountain, behold, David and his men came down towards her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained to him. He has returned to me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if I leave all of that belongs to him by the morning light, so much as one who urinates on a wall." When Abigail saw David, she hurried, got off her donkey, and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me be blame. Please let your servant speak in your ears. Hear the words of your servant. Please don't let my lord pay attention to this worthless fellow, Nabal, for it is his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, didn't see my lord's young men, whom you sent. Now, therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has withheld from you from blood guiltlessness and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now, therefore, let your enemies and those who seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. Now, this present which your servant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house because of my lord's fights, the battles, the Lord's battles. Evil will not be found in all your days. Though men may rise up to pursue you and seek your soul, yet the soul of my lord will be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. He will sling out the souls of your enemies as from a sling's pocket. It will come to pass when the Lord has done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, that there shall be no grief to you nor offense of heart to my lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my lord has avenged himself. When the Lord has dealt well with my lord, then remember your servant." David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you today to meet me. Blessed is your discretion, and blessed are you. You have kept me today from blood guiltlessness and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, who has withheld me from harming you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely there wouldn't have been left to Nabal by the morning light so much as one who urinates on a wall." So David received from her and that which she had brought him. Then he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. Behold, I have listened to your voice and have granted your request." Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal so that he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed is the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and he has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head." David sent and spoke concerning Abigail to take her to himself as wife. When David's servants came to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David has sent us to you to take you to you him as wife. She arose and bowed herself with her face to the earth and said, behold, your servant is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Abigail hurriedly arose and rode on a donkey with her five maids who followed her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was son of Gelim. Over to the New Testament, John chapter 7. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he wouldn't walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of Booths, was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see your works which you do, for no one does anything in secret while he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, reveal yourself to the world, for even his brothers didn't believe him. Jesus therefore said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify about you, about it, that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast because my time is not yet fulfilled. Having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he also went up, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore sought him at the feast and said, where is he? There was much murmuring amongst the multitudes concerning him. Some said, he's a good man. Others said, not so, but he leads the multitude astray. Yet no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the middle of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple and taught. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how does this man know, letters having never been educated? Jesus therefore answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it is from God or if I'm speaking for myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Didn't Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Why did you seek to kill me? The multitude answered, you have a demon who seeks to kill you. Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all marvel because of it. Moses has given you circumcision, not that it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a boy. If a boy receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely healthy on the Sabbath? Don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Therefore, some of them of Jerusalem said, isn't this he whom they seek to kill? Behold, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers indeed know that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man comes from. But when the Christ comes, no one will know where he comes from. Jesus therefore cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me and know where I'm from. I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you don't know. I know him because I am from him and he sent me. They sought therefore to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. But of the multitude, many believed in him. They said, when the Christ comes, he won't do more signs than those which this man has done, will he? The Pharisees heard the multitude murmuring these things concerning him. And the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Then Jesus said, I will be with you a little while longer when I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and won't find me. You can't come where I am. The Jews therefore said amongst themselves, where will this man go that we won't find him? Will he go to the dispersion amongst the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this word that he said, you will seek me and won't find me, and where I am, you can't come? Now on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from within him will flow rivers of living water. But he said, this is about the Spirit, which those believing in him were to receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. Many of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, this is truly the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But someone said, what does the Christ come out of Galilee? Hasn't the scripture said that the Christ comes of the offspring of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So a division arose in the multitude because of him. Some of them would have arrested him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers, therefore, came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why didn't you bring him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees, therefore, answered them, "You aren't also led astray, are you? Have any of the rulers of any of the Pharisees believed in him? But this multitude that doesn't know the law is cursed." Nicodemus, who he came to him by night, being one of them, said to him, "Does our law judge a man unless it first hears from him personally and knows what he does?" They answered him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and see that no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." Everyone went to his own house. Well, that's our reading today, fair bit today. Let's finish up with some thoughts and meditations. Reflect on the moments David sought and received God's guidance in our reading from 1 Samuel today, and how does this influence your approach to seeking God's direction in your own life? Consider David's restraint and respect for Saul's life, as well as his response to Abigail's intervention. And how do these stories challenge your attitudes towards justice, mercy, and personal vendettas? Jesus, you know, in his ministry, he faced a lot of different things: misunderstanding, skepticism, hostility. How does his steadfastness in fulfilling his mission, you know, despite all the opposition, inspire your faith, especially, you know, when you're in a challenging environment? An idea, if you want to do some more study today, take things a little further, explore the various responses to Jesus in John chapter 7, and then reflect on contemporary parallels and consider how different people today respond to Jesus and the gospel message. Well, that's our reading for today, and I look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on the PC Speaking Podcast. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Through the Bible in a Year. If you have found this helpful, please follow the podcast and share it with a friend. It is our hope and prayer that every episode helps enrich your relationship with God and His Word. Even if the drums stop beating, my soul will keep on singing.